Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to the last week in August. Glad to be with you on this Monday, the 27th of August, after a busy weekend. If you couldn't find something to do this last weekend, you weren't looking, because there was all sorts of activities. We talked about some of it back on Friday, and hope you got to some of the great events, whether it was down in Arthur, Urbana, Muhammad, and elsewhere. There's all kinds of activities here the weekend before we get to Labor Day, which is next Monday. And two words for you this week, game week. And for those of us involved in the sports end of things, this is a very hectic week starting today, getting ready for the first football game next Saturday at 11 a.m. 356-9397 is the phone number, and you can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. You can email us, talk at WDWS.com. Was over on the University of Illinois campus yesterday, and it was quad day, and it was packed, and it was hot, and students everywhere as they get ready to start classes today. In fact, in the 10 o'clock hour, Daniel Mann is going to join us. He's been the Director of Student Financial Aid for many years, and has a very important title now. I think he's the Interim Associate Provost for Enroll Management, but he handles campus enrollment, undergraduate admission, student financial aid, registration and records, enrollment management communications, data analysis and system services, and the Principal Scholars Program. So he does quite a bit over at the University of Illinois, and I thought at the end of last week that we would have him on to talk about the start of a new academic year for the University of Illinois, and he said, oh, yeah, and by the way, Monday there's going to be a big announcement from the university. Maybe we can talk about that, too. And the announcement is out, talking about tuition, free tuition for, what, 8 semesters for freshmen of a certain economic level. I think it's $61,000 household income, and I'll double-check all those numbers. But below that certain level, tuition free for 8 semesters for those freshmen in that economic level at the University of Illinois. So that's the big announcement. Julie Wirth has that in this morning. Our newsroom has been covering that on the radio as well through News Gazette Media. And we'll talk to Daniel Mann from over at the University of Illinois about that. What does that mean? How is that going to work? How is that paid for? All of that coming up in hour number 2. Open line time in the first hour. Big, big news over the weekend. Saw the passing of Senator John McCain of Arizona. And I think we all knew that was coming eventually with the brain cancer. He had become less and less involved in the Senate over the last several months. Heard different reports. He was getting treatment down in Phoenix, and the word came late last week that he had stopped the treatment. And then the next day, basically, they announced that he had passed away. So Senator John McCain of Arizona, we'll talk about his life a little bit. If you go to the websites, just Google John McCain, you'll have all sorts of information available. I just checked out, for curiosity, the Wikipedia page. 42 pages is what is on John McCain, with his amazing, amazing career, and being shot down and being a prisoner of war and the injuries he sustained, and very well-known family with a couple of admirals. Father and grandfather, remarkable career in the House and Senate. Ran for president a couple of times. But one of those guys that made a pretty lasting impression, whether you agreed with him all the time or not. Just an amazing, amazing career. So we'll reflect on his career a little bit coming up during this first half hour. Also, playwright Neil Simon passed away over the weekend. And he inspired a lot of sitcom writers over time. Of course, the playwright, he was involved in many other things as well, some of the Sid Caesar programs and so forth that he was involved with, passed away over the weekend. And Robin Leach, the guy that you saw in a lot of the tabloid shows covering the rich and the famous, passed away as well. And they always talk about those things happening in threes. It kind of did this weekend, didn't it? And, of course, you had the shooting down in Jacksonville, Florida. Another tragic event there in the state of Florida. Little League World Series. Hawaii wins the Little League World Series. That was pretty fun to watch. And see that. They had some great pitching, Hawaii did in that. And, of course, football, Illini football, high school football, all of that coming up will be discussed coming up tonight. Scott Beatty, the News Hour at 4, then Steve Kelly and the News Gazette sports writers. Martin O'Donnell, my friend and colleague on the air, will be one of the guests from Scotty's Brewhouse just after 5 today. Colin Likas and Jim Rosso with a new show, the Loman Ray High School Football Prep Confidential, at 6 o'clock, and then I'll be with head coach Lovey Smith of the Illini at 7 from Buffalo Wild Wings in Savoy from 7 to 8. Hope you'll join us. Hope you'll come by. Wish the coach well. And have a great time with us at Buffalo Wild Wings here on the radio and in person from 7 to 8 tonight with head coach Lovey Smith. All the press conferences start today. All the game week activities start. Towards the end of the week, on Friday, we'll have Illini Friday. We'll have the Expressions in to sing some Illini songs. And Barry Hauser from the Marching Illini, Kent Brown, maybe Cassie Arner as well, will join us on Friday. We've got Bob Steigman on Wednesday. We've got Jim Dye back from vacation. He'll be with us on Thursday. He's amazed by his St. Louis Cardinals. They've turned it around. And on the money on the show tomorrow. But today we'll talk a little bit about John McCain at the start. We'll get into admissions at the U of I and the big tuition news as well with Daniel Mann in hour number 2. 9:11, we'll take a break. We'll come back, get it started. Your phone calls, 356-9397. Text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. You can email us, talk@wdws.com. Ready, set, go. Back with Penny after this. Illinois and Kent State coming up Saturday morning at 11. Our usual Illini game day coverage from the stadium starting at 9:30. And the kickoff just after 11, Illinois and Kent State. Illinois does not leave the state of Illinois for the first month because we've got a game in Chicago and then a home game with Penn State at night on a Friday night before we have a bye week and then we'll hit the road after that. 356-9397 is how you can join us. Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair is a full-service collision repair facility. They know having a car accident's a serious matter. Dave and Bill, they're actually very absolutely hands-on in their business. They're in the shop every day. Not all owners of collision repair shops are. Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair works with all insurance companies. Big thing is, you know, when this happens, oh, great. Now I got to call the insurance adjuster and I got to listen to this and that. No, you just give them these guys the keys and they'll keep you updated on what's going on. And they'll get it back to factory safety specifications. It's conveniently located in Champaign-Urbana. Look for their attractive building. I pass it every morning on the way in from Mahomet. South side of I-74 between the Neal Street and Prospect exit. You can visit their website, gallomiller.com. So it's always a hassle to have your car needing repair, there's no doubt about that. But these guys make it as easy as possible for you and get you back in good shape. And they give you a free estimate, too. Maybe you say, well, I don't even know what this might cost. Well, they can tell you that for free. So don't worry about it, okay? 356-9397 is our phone number. You can join us. Hope you'll stop by Gallo Miller if needed. All right, let's see here. Mike from Champaign says, where is the Big Ten in it talks with Comcast over airing the games? Well, apparently they got it worked out, from what I understand. I heard the Steve and Lauren talking about it on Sports Talk on Saturday. They announced, the Big Ten Network announced, we're pleased to reach an agreement with Comcast, ensuring fans enjoy BTN and Big Ten on FS1. Thanks for your support. Here's to a great season. Because there was some concern here as we entered this last week that some of the games later this week would be it for a while on those two outlets, but they have it worked out. Let's go to the phones to Mark. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Brian. That's exactly what I was calling about, the Big Ten Network and Comcast.
Yeah.
I called Comcast this morning because I was listening on Saturday as well to that same conversation, so I called because they discontinued it last year down here in Florida where I'm at. Of course, it's important to me. So I called, and they seem to indicate, and I'm curious because of what you just said, that the games in these states would not be seen on it wouldn't be the Big Ten Network, it's Fox Sports One. Am I understanding that correctly? That's the way she explained it to me, but it was a young lady on the, who answered the phone. And I'm just trying to double check to make sure that I am going to get the games. Is that the way you understand it?
Well, that's the way I understand it.
I
heard you probably heard Dave Revson talk about it.
I
know just about as much as he does about it. From what I understand, I mean, it's either BTN or FS1. They're all owned by the same people.
That was the part that I didn't understand.
Yeah.
So, what it sounded like to me, and I'm just hopefully helping some of the other people who are in the same boat I'm in, that in the Big Ten states, it's the Big Ten Network, and in all the rest of the areas that Comcast serves, like here in Florida, I would get those games on Fox Sports One. That was the way it was explained to me.
Okay, yeah. Well, I know that they've got, BTN and FS1 tend to be different. I mean, they're all owned by the same people, but they're different outlets for the game.
Well, that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I get the exact same programming. If I don't, then I still have to hunt for the Big Ten Network.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can tell you 100% for sure. I just know that, they reached the agreement. I'm assuming they're going to get it all back on both, whether it's BTN or FS1 or whatever it is, where you are, rather than just in the Big Ten footprint. But
all right. I mentioned that to her because I was like, well, the whole point of having the Big Ten Network is so that I can get the Big Ten games when I'm not in those states that are actually the Big Ten states.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. 918 here at DWS. Good morning, Brian. I'm looking forward to next Monday. Monday morning quarterbacks will be back on the radio. I can't wait. Yeah, we will be. Lauren Tate will be here next Monday. After the first Illini football game, Labor Day, we will have a show on Labor Day, and we'll get Lauren Tate in studio here and have him visit with us. All right, Adam, let's take a quick break, and then we'll get Steve on the line, and we'll talk some more about John McCain after this timeout on Penny. Penny, for your thoughts on this Monday, 9:21. Here on DWS, talking about a lot of different things. Going to start it off with talk about the BTN, of course, network and Comcast and their agreement. Going to talk a little bit about Senator John McCain and his passing over the weekend. Steve Futterman is a guy I've known for a while from CBS. Steve, good to have you on with us. And let me ask you, in all the years you've covered these things, did you get to interact much with Senator McCain?
A few times, and I had one very memorable moment. For me, it was. I don't think the senator will remember it. It was in the 2000 campaign when things were not looking good. It was a very tough Tuesday night for Senator McCain. He had a couple of defeats, and he was arriving. I found out what hotel. Actually, I think it was a Hampton Inn or something, somewhere in California. Don't remember where. I was the only reporter there, and I needed to get some comments from Senator McCain. To say that he did not want to comment would be an understatement. His people arrived. I explained the situation. He agreed to do it. He was not happy. This was radio, so he could grimace and not have it show up on the air. He answered the questions, his teeth sort of gritting together, and I thanked him. I moved on, and that was a moment I will not forget.
Steve Futterman is with us from CBS News. You're going to talk a little about the life of John McCain, just one of those larger-than-life people, I think, Steve, just with his career and all that happened, the prisoner of war, his career in Congress and the Senate. Pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah, when you talk about people who are not presidents who are larger-than-life, I think, you had Ted Kennedy on the Democratic side, obviously a person who was in the Senate for many years, coming from his family, trying to run for president, never succeeding. McCain got a bit closer. He did get the nomination. He had the POW experience. So it's a rare situation when you have people who are just so much part of American life who haven't achieved that, the golden ring in the White House. And ironically, Kennedy and McCain were very good friends. But he was that type of figure. And, you know, we got to know him first. If you followed the POWs being released, you knew the name John McCain. Then he ran for the House, got some publicity. Then he made the big leap to the Senate, and he was a national name from that point on.
Well, it's interesting, and you made the comparison with Ted Kennedy, and that was one question I had for you, because those guys, even though they were unsuccessful, had a huge impact in the Senate. I mean, they even maybe had a bigger impact there, even though they were only, you know, one of 100.
Oh, yeah. No, you can, if you are a person who is a mover and shaker in the Senate and you have that power, you have that ability to convince others, yes, you can have a major, major impact. And McCain certainly did have that. What I think many of us, maybe not all of us, but many of us really were touched when we covered John McCain or saw John McCain, the times he would reach across the aisle or say things that weren't necessarily beneficial to him, but were in his mind the right thing to do. To me, the most famous, most pronounced incident like that was at the 2008 campaign when he was at a rally. I think it was a town hall, and a woman who was very uncomfortable having Barack Obama as president said to him, "I'm uncomfortable." I'm paraphrasing here, but she said, "He is." She hesitated herself and said, "He's an Arab." And McCain said, "No, no," shook his head no, almost apologetically, and said, "No, ma'am, he's a decent man. I just have lots of differences with him on political issues," mm-hmm. "and fundamental issues," I think is the term he used. And that was quite a moment, because that's not what you're supposed to do in a rally when one of your supporters is attacking the guy you're running against. But he felt that was the right thing. He did not want to make Barack Obama come across as a demon, because he didn't feel he was. He was just someone who had a different political philosophy than his. And, of course, we've seen the way some of the political discourse has gone since then, the last 10 years since then. And I think some of us would prefer the McCain nice, gentle way as opposed to the in-your-face way we have right now.
Steve Futterman with CBS News with us here for a few more minutes as we look back on the life of John McCain. You mentioned Barack Obama. He's going to speak at a ceremony. So will former President George W. Bush, correct?
That's right. They will give eulogies at the second funeral. They're having two funerals, one here in Phoenix, another one in Washington at the National Cathedral on Saturday. And at that, that's going to be the most high-profile one. Former President George W. Bush, Barack Obama will deliver eulogies. By the way, this was all planned by John McCain. Also planned by John McCain and his family is the fact that Donald Trump is not even receiving an invitation. Their feud, McCain really had trouble with the fact that he felt that President Trump had really disrespected him the last couple of years. That famous line when he talked about why is he a hero, because he got caught. I like people who don't get caught. That's something that just always bothered McCain and his family. He never felt he received an apology or a proper acknowledgement from President Trump. And he went up against President Trump on many of his policies, especially his policies towards Russia. McCain is an old hardline anti-Soviet, now very anti-Russian senator, and obviously President Trump is not quite that, and they had lots of disagreements about that. And today we've seen President Trump apparently raise the flag at the White House. Normally you would expect it to remain at half staff for a number of days. It was just at half staff for one day at the Capitol. It remains at half staff. So this uncomfortable relationship continues even after John McCain has died.
Yeah. Do you think, would Mike Pence go to the funeral? Is that the thought?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we think Mike Pence will be there. And listen, lots of this is symbolic. When you have the vice president there and the president hasn't even received an invitation, you're sending a statement out there. The McCain family knows they're doing that. And that might be why President Trump is reacting the way he is, not really issuing the normal nice statement, talking about John McCain being a hero, years of service to the country. The only statement from the president, as far as we know, was a very brief tweet, didn't mention McCain, just offered sympathies to McCain's family. That's not the normal way you do it. Mm-hmm. But again, this may be an outgrowth of other issues as well.
Before I let you go, Steve, I guess the plans for the week ahead for the family, he's going to lie in state in Phoenix, right, and then come to Washington?
Yeah, Wednesday, Lyon State at the state capitol, where I'm outside of the state capitol right now. Thursday, the funeral service here in Phoenix. Then the body will be flown to Washington on Friday. He will Lyon State in the Capitol Rotunda. Saturday comes the National Cathedral funeral. Then Sunday, he's laid to rest at the Naval Academy, a Navy man to the end. John McCain will be laid to rest next to a Navy buddy of his.
Yeah, and it was a guy that he's known a long time, right?
Yeah. And one more thing I should point out, there is going to be a moment, I believe it's when he's going, when they're taking the body from the Capitol Rotunda to the National Cathedral, they will stop at the Vietnam Memorial. And that obviously has lots of symbolism and will be very moving. John McCain, obviously, having spent more than 5 years in the so-called Hanoi Hilton, where he was often tortured, often beaten, he survived. Always had a lasting reminder of it. He could never raise either of his arms above his shoulders because of the treatment he received there. But they will stop at the Vietnam Memorial as well.
Yeah. And I read today, too, Steve, they're thinking about renaming the Russell Senate office after John McCain.
Yeah. That's being promoted by a Democrat, Chuck Schumer. Senator Russell was a Democrat, but he's one of those old Democrats who was a segregationist, not very popular these days. I think that will get through, so they will change the name from the Russell Building to the McCain Building. I can't see much. I'd be fascinated if someone votes against this, but, hey, I've been surprised before.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Hey, Steve, we'll let you go. I know you got a lot of work to do. Thanks for taking the time, and we'll listen for your coverage, okay?
Great to be with you.
Thank you, Steve. Yep, Steve Futterman with CBS News out in Phoenix, Arizona, getting ready for all the activities. You'll hear his coverage on CBS, both probably at the top of the hour. You'll hear a report from him and throughout the day from Phoenix with the funeral of John McCain. By the way, the list of non-presidents to lie in state at the U.S. Capitol is not all that long. It is a rare honor. It started with Henry Clay. Of course, failed in some efforts to become president in campaigns, but it was a dominant figure in Washington, D.C. Billy Graham is on that list, among others, but a pretty honored situation when you're lying in state at the U.S. Capitol. Also did a little bit of reading. Steve mentioned the flag, and we had a text in. Said, I understand President Trump got in the last shot at John McCain by not allowing the typical practice of letting the American flag above the White House to remain at half-staff through the day of internment. And I've got something on that in regards to what the flag code is and what has been done before. So we'll get into some of that here in the next little bit as well. But anyway, Michael Kaiser has the news headlines here coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll have news from the U of I in hour number two as they start classes today over at the University of Illinois. Daniel Mann will join us. He's been the director of financial student aid and does a lot of things besides just that. But we'll talk to him. Big announcement from the university regarding tuition. We'll do that as well in hour number two. Your phone calls, emails, and texts are welcome. Here's Michael with the news.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397. 9397. Email talk at WDWS.com or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357.
Back on Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS on a Monday. Next Monday, Labor Day, we will be here. You may be off, but we'll be working. We'll have our first Monday morning quarterback show with Lauren Tate. This week ahead, we have an hour tomorrow for me, and then 10 o'clock it'll be on the money. And then we've got Wednesday, I've got Bob Steigman coming up. Thursday we'll have Jim Dye. He's been on vacation. We'll catch up with him about his Cardinals, who have just been unbelievable the last month, and the Cubs are hot again. So that's going to be quite a race, I think, down the stretch for those two. And then on Friday, in the first hour, we will do the expressions are going to come by, and we'll have Illini Friday, and then we'll have Flashback Friday in the last hour of the last Friday of the month. Normally, we'll do our Illini Friday fun in the second hour, but for this first game, we'll do it in the first hour on Friday. So there we go, getting ready for the big game, the start of the season, year number three for Lovie Smith. We'll talk about it tonight, Lovie Smith Show at 7, preceded by Colin Likas and Jim Rosso, the Loman Ray High School Football Prep Confidential at 6. Steve Kelly and the News Gazette Sports Writers live from Scotty's Brewhouse just after 5. Scott Beatty with a news hour at 4, going in reverse order today. All right, the deal with the flags. Flags of the White House, which were lowered over the weekend to mark the death of Senator John McCain, are back at full staff. The flags of the U.S. Capitol, meanwhile, remained at half staff today to honor the Arizona Republican. President Donald Trump offered his condolences on Twitter to McCain's family, but hasn't issued a presidential proclamation. The two, of course, as Steve Futterman mentioned, had a long-running feud. U.S. flag code states that flags be lowered on the day of death and the following day for a member of Congress. That's what the U.S. flag code states. Now, after Democratic Senator Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts died in 2009, then-President Obama ordered flags at the White House be flown at half-staff for 5 days. White House didn't respond immediately to questions about all that on Monday. And people in Vietnam paying their respects to the U.S. Senator John McCain, who was held as a prisoner of war in Vietnam, later instrumental in bringing the wartime foes together. McCain died of brain cancer Saturday. People paid tribute to McCain at the U.S. Embassy in Hanoi on Monday, and also at the monument build where he parachuted from his Navy Skyhawk dive bomber in October of 67 and was taken prisoner of war. He was held more than 5 years at the infamous Hanoi Hilton prison. McCain and former Senator John Kerry played an important role in the bilateral normalization of relations in 1995. There was some talk at one time, and I've got to go back and reread this again, but there was some talk at one time that John Kerry was considering John McCain to be on his presidential ticket in 2004. And there was also, of course, the speculation when McCain was running in 2008 that he was going to pick Joe Lieberman as his running mate, and some pretty serious consideration of that, and then it turned out that he picked Sarah Palin, of course, in 2008 and lost to President Obama. All right, and somebody texted in. We got a text in from Ernie. He says, heard yesterday McCain's mother is still alive at 106. Yeah, I don't know that for sure, but I knew his mom had been alive, at least recently. So if she is, she is 106, according to Ernie there. Tom, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, Brian. John McCain, you know, if you turn to the word honor in the dictionary, you'd probably see his picture. He's the most, one of the most honorable people, that ever lived. Makes me proud to be an American and proud to be a 4-year veteran of the U.S. Navy, and my brother served 20. But I just want to say that I served on the USS Lexington. People don't know the John McCain, American pilots, U.S. Navy pilots. They go to school in the Naval Air Station. That's where we tied up. At the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, the real graduation is to come out and land on that carrier. They have to make 2 arrested landings. There's 4 cables at the end of the aft rear of the ship. And then they have to make 2 touch and goes. That's the real graduation. Now, I got there in 68. The Lexington got there in October 63 because en route from San Diego, they were stalled because of the Cuban Missile blockade. So I think they spent about a year down there. But he may have trained on the Antietam. It was a carrier, and the Lexington replaced the Antietam. But I'll tell you another story I read. He went with a girl. I guess his friends kind of looked down on him, and because a woman works in the bar doesn't make her bad. But it wasn't a strip joint, but right at the end of the main drag, Pensacola, right on the water, near the water, there was a Trader John's, big, looked like a big farm machinery building. Trader was a handlebar, older guy with a handlebar mustache and bow legs and really short. But I'd been in there a couple of times, and it was a decent place. I know, you know, no one ever caused trouble. But I just, you know, wanted to say that. He was quite a man, irreplaceable, and you not enough time on this show to say enough good things about him.
Yeah.
But thanks for giving me time to talk, Brian. You have a good day.
All right, you too, Tom. Thank you. I appreciate the phone call. 941 from Tom to Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Brian. I was sad to hear, although knowing that he was pretty ill, that he had passed away, Senator McCain. I actually had a really cool one-on-one interaction with him. I used to work at a hotel in Beverly Hills, and it was the 2008 election, and they had just had their debate at the Reagan Library, the Republican primary debate.
Oh, wow.
And he had come down to Los Angeles after that and was staying because he was doing a fundraiser event, I guess, the next night or something. And we knew he was coming into the hotel. I was a bellman there. And we knew he was coming, but we don't know when. You don't know any of the details because he's a high-profile, you know, politician. And all of a sudden, it was I just watched the debate on TV during break, and then I'm standing in the lobby, and then he's, a couple hours later, he's there. And the bus pulls up, and usually it's like I come out with the carts, and I would load up the bags, and then the staff would take up the bags because they don't really want people they don't know around the person, especially a presidential candidate. But they were like, okay, go on, take them up to McCain's room. And I was like, what? And so I'm riding in the elevator with the bags with Senator Lindsey Graham and former Congressman Majority Leader Bill Frist. And I was just kind of having a political geek out moment where I'm just riding in an elevator with these two big guys. And then I think I get to his room, and that'll be it. I'll give him the bags. I won't even see McCain. They guide me into the room. I bring the bags in. Cindy McCain takes the bags. She guides me into their bedroom. McCain's sitting there on the couch. He just undoing his tie, you know, relaxing after his debate and travel. And Cindy McCain is showing me where to put the bags. She opens one, pulls out a bunch of suit coats, and it's Senator McCain's suits. And she asked me if I could take them down to get them dry cleaned. So then I come back into the room, and McCain and Lindsey Graham and Bill Frist are all sitting there. And I just said, hey, you know, Senator McCain, I really hope you win this election. We need somebody with your experience being commander in chief. He said, thank you very much. He stood up. He shook my hand and said, what's your name? I said, Dave. Real quick, the next night he comes back, and I thought that would be it. But then the next night he comes back to the hotel and their key wasn't working. And one of his staffers comes down and they recognize me from the night before and was like, hey, Dave, can you help us? I go up to the bedroom and there's John and Cindy standing outside the room. And I have a key that opens, you know, any door in the hotel. And I open the door for him. And John McCain, I would think he would go in, but he stops. He says, hey, Dave. He shakes my hand again. He goes, thank you so much for the kind words you said last night. That really meant a lot to me. And I couldn't believe that he remembered my name, let alone what I had said to him the night before. But it was a very cool personal moment, you know, to have with Senator McCain.
Wow. That was at the Beverly Hills Hotel?
The Beverly Hilton.
Oh, Beverly Hilton. Okay.
Hotel. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Well, that's a great story. I mean, you're a bellhop. You run into those famous people and... Did he tip you at all, or was that expected?
One of his staffers gave me a tip, but not him personally. I think politicians really don't carry a whole lot of cash on them. But the interesting thing was later that year when Obama was the nominee, he stayed at the hotel as well. And I ran into him. That's a story for another time. But I shook his hand, told him I was from Illinois. And so I knew at that point, whichever way the election went, whether it was McCain or Obama, I had met the next president of the United States, which was a kind of a cool thing to experience. Yeah. Very rare.
Those are great stories, Dave. And, you know, it's funny because in my business, you run into famous coaches a lot of times that you've never met.
Sure.
And you just find out they're like you and I. I mean, they're regular people, even though they're, you know, very much well known for what they do. You know, they're human like everybody else, and those are cool interacting moments. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Dave. That's a great story. How about that, Ben? Good morning. How are you,
Brian? Good. I'm doing good.
Good. You got a bellhop story like that?
No, that's a pretty cool story about anything like that. But I would just like to remind people of the significance of why he's being called a hero. When he was a POW in Vietnam, his dad was the commander of the Pacific Forces conducting the Vietnam War. And he had been offered multiple times early release as a kind of a brownie point gesture to the United States to try to negotiate the end of the war. But John McCain refused every time. And the reason why he did that is because he knew it would sour the morale of his fellow POWs. And he was hurt. His arm was broken, and third world medicine that was over there in North Vietnam at the time really didn't heal it. I think his leg was broken, and that hardly ever healed up at all. And so they were torturing him. So he wanted to go home, but he refused early release because he knew it would sour the morale of the people.
No, you're right. No, you're absolutely right, Ben. And I know, and you know the story too. It was as you said, he had multiple chances to get out, but he wanted the guys that were captured first. He wanted them to get out first.
Exactly. And another reason why they were wanting to do that was that his granddad was Admiral Halsey's right hand during World War II, and he was on the deck of the Missouri during the surrender. So they had all kind of reasons to let him go early, but he refused early release.
No, you're absolutely right, and he had been involved too in the USS Forrestal. They had a big fire too that. He had been involved in an escape from that.
Right. I read the book on that, and from what it's been a long time since I read the book, but as far as I remember, the details is they were trying to load a missile onto another plane. They were very old missiles. Even the weapons officer kind of complained about it, but somehow it had fallen off the plane it was being loaded onto. Somehow it ignited, and it hit John McCain's plane.
Yeah,
and so he rushed out of the fire initially, but then as soon as he kind of a couple of seconds to get his wits, he rushed back in to try to do what he can to deal with it.
Yep. Yeah, that fire killed 134 sailors. Took 24 hours to control. So he was a part of that too before he even got captured after being shot down over North Vietnam. So. Yeah, those are all good points, Ben. You really made them well. Thank you for doing that.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Appreciate it. 9:49 here at DWS. Let's go to Bill. Good morning, Bill. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Brian. My father was a POW in World War II, so I had great admiration for what John McCain went through. And your last two callers, Dave and Ben, just to have, especially Dave's story, a common at the time bellhop, shows so much admiration and respect for a true hero, says it all. And unfortunately, it also says something about the current occupant of the White House, unable to even, share the littlest bit of respect that John McCain would be due all the honors he's going to receive this week. And I look forward to watching that happened. I mean, he was a great leader and a great guy.
Well, he cast a big, big shadow over the Senate. And as we talked about earlier with Steve Futterman, I mean, even though he wasn't elected president, I mean, there's a handful of guys in Congress, a Henry Clay, a Ted Kennedy, and others that leave an even bigger shadow just by being in the Senate, even though they didn't get elected.
Yeah, I just wonder where the next giant's going to come from, to stand up and to cast a shadow like some of those individuals. It leaves you to wonder.
Yeah, it really does. Hey, good points, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep, good to hear from you. 356-9397 is the phone number. You can text us as well. We'll come back with more. Quick break, Adam, and then back with more Penny for Your Thoughts in a moment. .953, 81 degrees after a hot and steamy weekend and a busy weekend. We're starting out this last week of August. We'll have the Lovie Smith Show tonight at 7. I mentioned Jim Rosso did. He and Colin Likas, the Loman Ray High School Football Prep Confidential at 6. Steve Kelly, News Gazette Sports Writers, live from Scotty's Brewhouse just after 5. will be with Coach Smith, Lovie Smith, and Buffalo Wild Wings at 7 tonight. By the way, the list of people lying in state, and again, the presidents, former presidents, the honor is not automatic for others, but some of the names: Thaddeus Stevens, representative from Pennsylvania; Charles Sumner, a senator from Massachusetts; George Dewey, the admiral of the Navy, lied in state in 1917, the unknown soldier for World War I; Robert A. Taft, U.S. senator, majority leader. These are non-presidents that have been in a situation where they've lied in state at the U.S. Capitol. General Douglas MacArthur. Everett Dirksen, Illinois senator, Senate minority leader. Daniel Inouye in 2012. And then John McCain. Billy Graham. Rosa Parks. A couple of others. So it's a big honor. Let's go to Brian. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. I wasn't going to call in and say anything. I'm not a big fan of McCain's, but then again, he did serve his country well, and he did suffer an awful lot. The previous caller who got on Trump for not showing McCain any respect, President Trump did send out a message or a tweet and asked for prayers for the family and condolences for the loss of, you know, Senator McCain. So he did. I don't know if the caller realizes this or not, but McCain specifically stated that he did not want Trump at his funeral.
Yes, that is correct. He did not invite him.
That's exactly right. And he also did everything he can to fight Trump tooth and nail. He, on his last election, re-election, he ran on repeal and replace Obamacare. And when he got in and the vote came up, he voted no.
Yeah, that's true. That was one of his last votes, I think.
Yeah, and that's why I wasn't going to say anything. But when this guy wants to get up there and attack Trump over this, I'm going to defend President Trump on this, because this is not Trump's fault at all. And he's gracious, you know.
He did in this case, although I think he was wrong when he was talking about, he wasn't a hero because he got captured. I mean, that's just nonsense.
Well, that was a gaffe. I wouldn't have said that, you know. But there's some kind of controversy over his actions in the appeal. And like I said, I didn't want to say anything. I really didn't.
So. Okay.
But I hate to see anybody wind up in the PLW. That's just horrific. And what he went through was horrific. And it was a miracle of God that any of them got out of their life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and he was there a long time, too. Hey, Brian, thanks for the call, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Yep,
bye-bye.
Appreciate it. 9:57. Eric is up next. Good morning, Eric.
Morning, Brian. On the same topic, I saw something yesterday which talks about an incident that happened on aircraft carrier with the senator was on there. And he was getting into his jet, who knows what it was, probably a Hornet or something like that back then. And they do something, I guess, when you want a hot dog, it's called a wet start. You know, anyway, what that results is a column of fire coming out the jet's exhaust. And the story goes several people were killed. Other ordnance on other jets that were there caught fire and exploded, and there was all this stuff. So I don't know. I'm going to dig a little further into this, but that's something that's out there these days on this.
Yeah. Well, I don't know the whole story. I knew about him getting shot down. I didn't know about the other, the other incident he was involved in before that. So, I don't know as many details about that.
Me either, but I'm going to be looking into it. So that's all I got for you today.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Good call. Thank you. And here at 9:58, Brian, you're going to have to hurry, but go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to rain on people's parade a little bit, too. I remember when McCain ran for president, Democrats didn't have anything good to say about him. And when Lieberman did endorse him, they primaried Lieberman with an even more liberal person, and he had to run as an independent to save his seat. You know, and McCain, he was a lot of times in that gang of eight that crossed the aisle, you know, but he wouldn't always back the Republicans, and they called him a maverick. But, you know, and even his mother said, well, you're going to have to hold your nose and vote for him. And that's what a lot of us Republicans did in 2008.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, that's all that political, you know, talk. And it's all true. He was definitely a maverick, and he infuriated some people in his own party.
And he had the biggest temper in the Senate, too.
And he did have a temper. I read some books about that. He could also be very gracious, which we heard from some people today, like anybody else, I guess. Maybe we have our good days and bad days. But
like the previous caller, there is some controversy about his career, and I believe he might have been pardoned by Nixon for something.
I don't know about that. Hey, Brian, I got to move, but thank you. All right, next hour, we're going to talk a little bit here, at least the start of the hour, about the University of Illinois. They start their classes today. Daniel Mann will join us from the University of Illinois. And big news from the U of I, too, on WDWS Champaign-Urbana.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
Welcome back, Penny, for your thoughts. News Talk 1400 DWS. A lot of great conversation in that first hour on the passing of John McCain. We visited with Steve Futterman of CBS News. Had a great bellhop story from the Beverly Hilton out there when one of our callers ran into John McCain on a couple of different occasions. So that was very cool to hear, and we appreciate all of that. A busy day here on News Talk 1400 DWS. Again, our lineup tonight, Scott Beatty with the News Hour at 4, Steve Kelly and the News Gazette sports writers live from Scotty's Brew House getting ready for football. My colleague Martin O'Donnell will be there as well. For that after 5, Colin Likas and Jim Rosso at the Loman Ray High School Football Prep Confidential at 6. And I'll be back with Lovie Smith, the head coach of the Illini, year number 3 from Buffalo Wild Wings in Savoy. That'll be at 7 to 8 on this station. 10-11 here at DWS. It's also a busy time over at the University of Illinois, and we're joined this morning by Dan Mann. You go by Dan the Man sometimes? Or
I go by Dan the Man sometimes, yes. I've been called all things.
So. And you've been with the university how long now?
I've been here at the University of Illinois since 2004. I previously was at SIU Carbondale and came here in 2004 as the Director of Student Financial Aid. A month ago, I was promoted to being the Associate Provost for Enrollment Management. So I work directly with the undergraduate admissions, student financial aid, registrar teams. We've got a communications team, a data team, and we also work with the Principal Scholars Program that's based out of Chicago.
Well, I noticed because I went to the website to try to get your title right, and they hadn't updated yet that you were the Associate Provost, but the Provost is a big office.
That is correct.
Yeah. I mean, when you think provost, you think, well, maybe one guy there. But no, there's a lot more to it, different avenues.
We do a lot of stuff. We work with all the colleges and departments throughout campus. It's really centered on all the academic mission. But there's a full staff in the provost office to support Andreas Kangalaris and his efforts as the
provost. Mm-hmm. Well, busy day yesterday. I saw you yesterday. We had a big luncheon, and also it was quad day.
Absolutely. And it was very exciting, but it was also very chaotic quad day. I walked around a couple times, lots of students, lots of energy, lots of excitement. I kept walking down the food alley, lots of students trying to get free food and free samples, but quad day really gives students a chance to interact with returning students mm-hmm. and find out about all the clubs and organizations and ways they can get involved at the university.
Yeah, there were some things out there you wouldn't realize would be going on, but you know, there's all kinds of groups out there. I mean,
there are. It's very impressive when you see all the way from Follinger to the Illini Union. The full quad is full of mm-hmm. tents and people, and like I said, it was a fun day. It was warm, but it was fun.
Now, students have been moving in over the last week. Now, is today the first day of classes?
Today is the first day of classes. So, yes, students have been moving in over the last couple of weeks. A lot of the housing students moved in on Tuesday and Thursday of last week. For our new freshmen and new transfer students, there were orientation activities on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We had convocation on Friday. Good turnout for that. But today's where it all happens. This is when classes begin, and students, I could tell, was busily trying to get to class early this morning. Hopefully they figured out where all their classrooms are at and are there taking, beginning their coursework, which is why they're here at the University of Illinois.
Van Mann is with us, Associate Provost for Enrollment Management at the University of Illinois, and again was the Director of Student Financial Aid. So if you have a student financial aid question, he can answer just about any of them, I would think, over the experience he's gained over the years. I know he's been a help to us and my family along the way. When I asked you to come on Friday, you said, hey, we got a big announcement Monday. You couldn't tell me what it was, but now you can, and it's called Illinois Commitment. So tell me about that.
So today is a big day. So as we welcome our fall 2018 class, our admission staff are beginning to look at recruiting our new class for fall 2019. And so today the campus has made a huge announcement that beginning with the fall 2019 class, we will be offering free tuition and fees for Illinois families whose income is at or below $61,000. The $61,000 represents the median income in the state of Illinois, and so this is an opportunity to send a message to students and families that a University of Illinois education is accessible and affordable. One of the things we have heard often from students, both on why they don't apply to the University of Illinois, as well as those that we admit and then they choose not to come to us, is that they have concerns about our cost, and they have concerns that they don't get enough financial aid or scholarships to be able to attend. So this new campaign is really designed to let students and families know up front that if you're an Illinois resident and your family income is below $61,000 a year, you can come to the University of Illinois. Your tuition fees will be covered by a combination of Pell Grants, the State of Illinois Monetary Award Program, or the MAP Grant, and then institutional funds.
Yeah, I know, because that's the first question I think a lot of people will have is, okay, you know, how do you pay for this? And it is a combination of some of those things you've mentioned, right?
That's correct. So it's a combination of existing money that's already there. Many of these students, or almost all these students who will be eligible for this program, would already be receiving some financial aid from the University of Illinois. But some of the students will be getting additional financial aid when we cover all tuition fees. Tuition fees cover over half of what we say is the cost of attendance to attend the university for a year. When we're talking about cost of attendance, we're talking about tuition and fees, room and board, books and supplies, transportation, and personal miscellaneous expenses. So when we are talking about tuition fees, our base rate is about $16,000 for some students and goes all the way up to $21,000 for our engineering and business students. So it's quite a large award for students who qualify.
So is the room and board, is that separate from this?
Or room and board will be separate from this. But students can still get financial aid to cover those costs as well.
Well, this is a big step.
It's a huge step.
Yeah.
It is a huge step. So as you indicated earlier, it does cost money. It is going to take existing resources, and we're going to need to add about $4 million a year for each of the next 4 years as we fully implement this program. We'll be bringing in one class at a time. So in 4 years, we're looking at a additional investment of about $16 million in student aid to fund this program.
Dan Mann is with us. He's the Associate Provost for Enrollment Management at the University of Illinois. We thought we'd have him in to talk about the start of the new academic year for 18-19, but also this big announcement about tuition for starting in the fall of 2019. And I know President Colleen has talked about this, and I know Chancellor Jones has, about, and you hit it on it too, why students were going elsewhere. Because it was like, if you're a middle-income family, you know, middle-class family, you're looking at it going, wow, I mean, that's a lot of money. And you guys were seeing, obviously, that people were going elsewhere as a result.
Yes, we were seeing it in our data, but we were also hearing it directly from students. I don't think it's any accident that some of our Big Ten competitors, especially Michigan, Purdue, Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa, places that border the state of Illinois, know exactly what our costs are. We're very transparent about what our costs are. They're able to go in and offer combinations of merit and need-based aid to Illinois residents to make it more attractive for them to go to their schools. And so we are really trying to put our money towards need-based aid here and really help residents of the state of Illinois.
So this would be for 8 semesters if you start in the fall of 2019.
That's correct. As a freshman, we will also offer this to new transfer students, and they can have up to 6 semesters. Community college graduates normally only take 4 semesters, but we do have people who transfer in at the end of their first year or freshman year. And so we're allowing up to 6 semesters for transfer students.
356-9397. If you have any thoughts, questions, or maybe comments, maybe you have some general tuition questions. If you're in that time frame where you've got some seniors maybe in high school that just started their senior year, I've got 2 daughters in college, one a senior and now one a freshman. And the cost is, and when you've got kids that age, you're thinking about it. And unfortunately, I think our savings rate and the way we save money is in the baby boomer generation and the one that followed, we didn't exactly save the way we should. And maybe that's part of this too, you know, putting away money for college just hasn't, because of other expenses.
That is true. And so, you know, our message today is really to everybody. Clearly, if you are a senior in high school or have a student who's going to be a senior in high school, this is something you want to pay attention to as you're looking to school choices as you begin to think about admission offers for fall 2019. But you may have younger children or grandchildren that are looking to come to college in the future. And so I think what you want to tell them to do is make sure you do your studies, make sure you're taking your college-ready courses so that you can get admitted to the University of Illinois. Mm-hmm. You still got to go through the admissions process. We're still a top-notch, high-quality institution, so you've got to qualify to be admitted to the University of Illinois. And then students are also going to need to apply for financial aid by using the FAFSA form. But if you have that combination that you are admitted and you are meet the income criteria for this, which is the $61,000 household income. You also need to make sure that your assets are less than $50,000. Your assets does not include your family home, so we're looking really at cash and stocks and bonds and those kinds of things when we're talking about assets to make sure that you qualify for this. And then both the students and the parents have to be Illinois residents to qualify.
I know Julie Worth wrote about this today in the News Gazette. Currently, about 2,000 of the 7,500 first-year students would qualify for Illinois commitment. Many of them already get enough aid to cover tuition and fees, according to Mr. Pitts, Kevin Pitts, who's the Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education. Now, you've got some other programs. We were at a luncheon yesterday. You and I both were at one, Illinois Promise. Where do all these fit in, some of the other programs you've already had to help students, that families that have lower income?
So our Illinois Promise families are a subset of this Illinois commitment population. They are also Illinois residents, but they are families whose income is at or below the federal poverty level. And so
What is that level? Is it?
For a family of 4, it's about $24,000. Mm-hmm. So for families that qualify with family incomes at or below the federal poverty level, they will continue to still be an Illinois Promise program. That is our signature financial aid program. It provides grant and a $2,500 federal work-study award to cover the cost of tuition, fees, room and board, and books and supplies. Mm-hmm. So with a little bit of help with the students working and then with grant money, they will still fall into the Illinois Promise category.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think the state legislature also, there was an AIM High program. What is that?
There is an AIM High program. It is a brand new program. It is designed to provide $25 million from the state, which schools can match to provide merit scholarships for incoming students. We're still working with the Illinois Student Assistance Commission and the other 11 public universities in the state to work out the final details on that program. We hope to have more details to announce soon about how that program is going to work on our campus. But it's really does require the students to also fill out a financial aid application. Mm-hmm. To qualify for AIM High, the family's income has to be less than 6 times the federal poverty rate. So for a family of 4, that's about $148,000. So many of our families will qualify for that, but not everybody. But it is a competitive merit scholarship award.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of different avenues here.
A lot of different avenues, lots of new money being put into financial aid. So that's good news for students and families.
All right, Dan Mann is with us. We're going to take a break here, 10:24. If you have some questions, maybe you've got a senior coming up in high school and you're thinking about next year, college and the University of Illinois with this big announcement today, Illinois commitment. that was just announced a little bit, about an hour ago, really, and we've had some coverage of it, of course, the News Gazette media through the paper and on the radio. But Dan's here to talk about that, and also is involved Lovie Smith a little bit here, too, in this. We'll tell you about that after this timeout.
Hi, I'm Paul Rudy, CEO of Rudy Wealth Management and host of Paul Rudy's On the Money radio show. At Rudy Wealth Management, we specialize in retirement planning only. We speak all things retirement, and our specialization means that we add value to our clients' lives well beyond portfolio management. We can help you make all the important decisions that come with creating a secure retirement. We will help you determine how much you can spend in retirement, which means we help you plan your other income around the fact that 85% of your Social Security might be taxed. By carefully coordinating your Social Security claiming strategy with Roth conversion strategies and paying attention to retiree-specific tax planning issues, we make sure that you won't pay one more penny in taxes than you should. We also help you with your healthcare insurance decisions, including long-term care, along with housing lifestyle choices such as aging in place versus a continuing care retirement community. We will also make sure that you have all your key estate planning documents up to date. To schedule your no-cost initial visit with one of our certified financial planner professionals, you can go to rudywealth.com or call 356-1400. Rudy Wealth Management, Central Illinois' retirement specialist.
Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive.
Ever wonder why Europeans seem to speak so many languages? Maybe it's because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Babbel's award-winning technology gets you speaking right away, whether you're learning Spanish, French, or German. And best of all, you'll remember what you've learned.
I always thought I was bad at languages, but after using Babbel, I can tell you I was just taught the wrong way.
Using Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons, you can be speaking confidently in your new language within weeks.
I was amazed that I could start having real life conversations right away. It was so fast. Now I'm speaking Spanish. Woohoo!
No wonder Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Try it for yourself and see why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language, like Spanish, French, or more. You can try Babbel for free. Download the app or text RADIO to 484848. Text RADIO to 484848 to try Babbel for free. That's RADIO to 484848.
Do you struggle with neck stiffness, tightness between your shoulders, or aching lower back muscles? This is Doug Nelson, the founder of Bodywork Associates, and I invite you to discover our special form of massage called Precision Neuromuscular Therapy. Since 1982, we've helped thousands of people in Champaign-Urbana be more comfortable. In our hands, massage is powerful medicine. We've added a new location in downtown Champaign in addition to our Windsor Road and campus offices. Learn more about us at bodyworkassociates.com.
The season really begins Friday, August 31st at the Hawthorne Suites in Champaign. It's the Illini Quarterback Club's first pregame luncheon of the season. On Friday, prior to each home game, club members gather for lunch, listen to a coach and players, have an opportunity to win a coach autographed football plus raffle prizes that include an opportunity to be an assistant coach for the game. The Friday lunch is just one of many Quarterback Club special events held throughout the year. Memberships start at just $60. Visit IlliniQBC.com for information on becoming a club member or visit the August 31st lunch. Doors open at Join us tonight at 7 as we get the football season underway. It's the Lovie Smith Radio Show at 7 o'clock at Buffalo Wild Wings and here on the radio on DWS tonight at 7. Ten twenty-seven. We're talking about the start of classes, University of Illinois. They're starting today. Dan Mann is with us. He's the Associate Provost for Enrollment Management. He's been a Director of Student Financial Aid. And he knows all of these things like the back of his hand. So if he doesn't have the answer, he can find it pretty quickly. But usually he does have the answer. And if you have any questions regarding this, big announcement today, Illinois' flagship university, a new program to keep talented college students of modest means in-state, free tuition and fees starting next fall. The University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign will promise 8 semesters of free tuition and fees to any qualified Illinois student whose household income is below $61,000 a year, the current state household median income. And that number, why $61,000? Why go with that? Let me get you on. There you go.
So it is tied to the state median income of $61,000. Mm-hmm. When you look at our – so this really is based upon the family median at $61,000. But when we look statewide of the 102 counties in Illinois, 89 of our 102 counties have a median income below $61,000 per year. Mm-hmm. So most of the state, including most of Central Illinois, will fall into that category. 13 have median incomes above $61,000. The counties that do have median incomes above the $61,000 include the collar counties around Chicago, which is Lake, McHenry, Kane, DuPage, Kendall, Grundy, Will. It's the counties near St. Louis, Monroe, and Clinton. It's counties that include or are near downstate cities, McLean County, where Bloomington Normal is located, Woodford County near Peoria, and Piatt near Champaign, and Putnam County, which is the smallest county in the state. But when we look at the ones that's below $61,000, we have seven counties that are below $40,000, 47 counties with median incomes between $40,000 and $50,000, and there are 35 counties with median incomes between $50,000 and $61,000. Mm. Champaign County, our median income is $48,899. So the majority of people in this county would qualify for this program.
And again, this will be starting in the fall of 2019, so a year from now. Michael Kaiser has stepped in here. He's got some news headlines coming up. We'll continue our visit with Dan Mann. Again, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, feel free to either verbalize them on the phone or you can text us, 351-5357, or email us talk@wdws.com. It's the start of another academic year at the University of Illinois. This is part of a big rollout to this Illinois commitment. You'll be seeing a lot of advertising, a lot of different ways they'll get the message out. We'll tell, have Dan tell us how that's all going to happen after the news here with Michael Kaiser. Hey, Swanson's Roofing is one of our sponsors here on Penny for Your Thoughts, a hands-on owner, meaning he works on almost every job with the crew. And Swanson Roofing, they serve Champaign, Vermilion, Ford, and McLean counties. Big thing is that they want to, A, take responsibility and ownership of every past customer. And this is a small enough area, small enough community, that word of mouth is very important. And they've had great reputations down through the years, both Corey and his wife Melissa. Every job site being 100% cleaned up, one of their strongest attributes. You don't want any of those stray nails laying around on your driveway. And they'll Swanson Roofing will help you with the small repairs and help you save your roof. And even if Swanson Roofing did not do your roof originally, don't worry about it. They're happy to come out and fix any problems. So to get a free estimate, maybe get an idea, because sometimes this is scary. You're thinking, oh, man, I got to replace the whole roof, and the kids are going to college, and all of this, and how am I going to afford it? Well, get a free estimate first, and you may alleviate some of those concerns. 355-ROOF, 217-355-7663, or visit Swanson Roofing online at theroofingdog.com. 356-9397 is the phone number. If you have any questions for our guest, Dan Mann is with us. U of I to offer free tuition and fees in the fall of 2019. The household income below $61,000 a year. That's the current state household median income. And they have a, if you miss the interview today or maybe didn't get all the information, there will be a lot of information out there. So Dan Mann is here to tell us about that. You got a big campaign starting, right?
We have a big campaign. Unlike anything that we've done before, we are really not only making the announcement today, but we're going to follow it up with a media campaign over the next 4 months. That is during our admission cycle. Beginning on September 1st, we will begin accepting admissions applications, and you'll begin seeing advertisements in a number of different ways. We'll be working with Illinois Athletics, and Illinois Commitment will be featured at all the home and Chicago games, on their web, yearbook. Coach Lovey Smith has done a video and has been a spokesman for us. We are doing paid social media through Facebook and Instagram. We are doing billboards throughout the state. We're going to have 17 billboards throughout the state, including two here in Champaign-Urbana. One that's going to be at Neil and John, and the other on I-74 near the mall, so also near Neil. We are going to be doing Chicago Mass Transit. We'll be doing bus shelters, train platforms, digital panels. We'll also be advertising on seven Champaign-Urbana MTD buses. And then as we get into the holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas, we will be running theater ads at local theaters throughout the state for about 4 week period that will be talking about Illinois Commitment. So for those who go to the movies early, they can see a feature about our Illinois Commitment program. So we really want to keep this message out there with prospective students and families as they think about going to college for next year. We found in doing a lot of our research related to this that low and moderate income families often go to movies as their form of entertainment. And so that's why we are hitting the movie theaters.
Mm-hmm. Now, other Big Ten schools, are they doing similar programs to Illinois Commitment?
Some other schools. So the University of Michigan has done the Gold Blue Guarantee. Mm-hmm. University of Wisconsin has the Bucky Badger program. Purdue has a boiler affordability grant, and Ohio State also has a similar program.
Mm-hmm. And so these are schools thinking about this, because in the political world, there's always talk. It's been brought up by different candidates saying, hey, let's you know, make it free for everybody. I don't know if schools can afford to do that, but is this kind of a, like you say, helping those who, when, if you don't have kids of college age, it's hard to understand how expensive it is.
Yes. We actually have looked at this for like the last 2 years. It's an expensive proposition to do this, and that's why there's only a small number of colleges that's been able to do that. It's actually probably more expensive for us to do it than it has been the other four schools that I've mentioned. Places like Michigan have only a little over 50% of their students who are actually in-state residents, where we're closer to 75% of our students. Same is true with Wisconsin and Purdue. They have far less in-state students than they rely a lot on out-of-state students. So we have more students, which means more cost for us to do this.
356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Someone texted in, says, kids don't want a useless degree and $100,000 in loans. Obviously, the loan part is what you see a lot of student debt, right? I mean, that's where
that is correct.
Trouble.
And so that is one of the things that we really hope to accomplish with this program, is reduce student loan debt for our students. Mm-hmm. So we obviously won't know until 4 years from now or 5 years from now when these students are graduating, and we can look at their loan debt to know how successful that has been. Right now, with last year's graduating class, 45% of the students who graduated last year had borrowed a loan as an undergrad student. The average loan indebtedness here at the University of Illinois is $24,667, which is less than the national average, which is more around $29,000. So we have been below the national average, but we would actually like to make it even cheaper for our students, and especially from families who need have the less resources to pay for college.
There's a lot of times, and I experience this with my daughters, that senior year there is so much going on in their lives that, you know, you say, okay, Lauren, you need to make sure you're getting your scholarships, all your papers filled. Oh, I'm too busy, Dad. I'm too busy. I got too much going on. Do people miss out a lot of times on financial aid just because they either didn't take the time to look or other reasons?
They do. Maybe not so much at the University of Illinois, but at other places they definitely do. We do a lot of messaging to our admitted students and continuing students to remind them of financial aid deadlines, to remind them to fill out the FAFSA. The FAFSA form does become available. When I'm saying FAFSA, that's Free Application for Federal Student Aid. That is the financial aid form that is available to students attending all colleges and universities. So that's not an institutional application. That's the federal application. Mm-hmm. And that becomes available beginning October 1st, 2018 for the 2019-20 school year. So students, that's only about a month from now. So students should begin applying for financial aid then. What I think they sometimes miss out for is looking for private scholarships. Mm-hmm. And we would definitely suggest that students begin doing that now. But use your fall semester to look for scholarships. Sometimes it's just filling out an application. Sometimes you need to write an essay. You maybe need to put together a portfolio and submit it. But we have a lot of students who receive private outside scholarship funds. And so money is available if you go out there and look for it.
Yeah. Now, the FAFSA is like the first step you have to fill out.
That's correct.
Right? I mean, it's like the entry point.
It's the entry point. It allows you to apply for federal, state, and institutional financial aid. It's really the document that then drives the entire financial aid process. So we would encourage you to do that. A couple of years ago, they changed the process so that it's using the prior year income. So it's tax returns that's already been completed, so it makes that process simpler. When you go in to do that electronically, it also allows you to use a data retrieval tool. It's called DRT, or it's abbreviated as DRT. That allows the program to go out to your IRS tax return and pull in your information so that the information is populated correctly. And we certainly encourage our students and families to use that feature. It makes it less likely that you're going to be selected for verification and makes the whole process much easier if you follow those steps.
And so, October 1 is the first important day. We'll hit on some of the other dates here in a minute, but that's the October 1 is...
It's the important date for financial aid. We continue to use March 15th as our priority filing date, but we encourage our students to file sooner than that because of the State of Illinois MAP Award. They really look to all the applications in the state. When they decide that they've got enough applications, they will put application processing in suspense status. And that could occur before March 15th. So we really encourage people to fill out the FAFSA in the fall, if at all possible.
And that'll be really important, not only just to fill it out, but for this Illinois Commitment Program to start the ball rolling on that.
Absolutely. That is correct.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We've got some more dates to throw your way and some enrollment numbers we'll talk about a little bit. 1043 here with Dan Mann from over at the University of Illinois. Back with more in a moment. Dan Mann is our guest, Associate Provost for Enrollment Management on the University of Illinois campus. Was the Director of Student Financial Aid for many years. Still handles a lot of that, of course, but has the title now, Associate Provost for Enrollment Management. First day of classes at the University of Illinois. Pleased to have him here with us. Jane is on the line. Hi, Jane. Good morning.
Hi, Brian. I have two questions. The first one is, my son is transferring to the U of I in the fall of 2019. And so can transfer students apply for this, or is this just first-year students?
This is for new transfers as well. So, yes, he would be eligible for consideration for this program.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and second question is, because we're not eligible, but I just wanted to ask that. Second thing is, is students who can pay tuition, are their rates going to go up?
At this point, we don't have tuition and fees approved for the 2019-20 year. I know that the president and the Board of Trustees have talked about wanting to continue to keep our tuition rates low, but an official announcement won't happen with that until probably the January board meeting.
Okay, because I just am wondering, how is the university paying for this program? Mm-hmm.
So it's a combination of money that comes from donations in the foundation. It's also includes money that the university has, so it includes a combination of institutional funds. It will also be counting the students' Pell Grant and MAP awards that they would be getting. So it's a combination of federal, state, and institutional money.
Okay, so basically you're just going to round out what they don't get for Pell Grants.
That is correct.
Are you trying to avoid students having student loans? Is that the goal?
That is one of our ultimate goals, yes, is to, I don't know that it will eliminate loans, but it will hopefully reduce loans for students who qualify.
Okay, and do you guys have like a limit, like we'll give 100 of these scholarships?
No, I mean, not at this.
Do you know what I'm saying? Do you limit it, or is it just anybody, if you have 10,000 people come in and say, I want this?
That's the beauty of this program. If you're eligible, you're going to receive it. So it's for all students who meet these qualifications. The important thing is the student still has to be admitted. They have to meet the admissions criteria, be admitted, and then they also then have to meet the financial qualifications to be part of this program. But we could be picking up. We anticipate in our projections, actually, that we will see maybe a 5% growth in students from families under 61,000.
And I think that's great. I think it's fantastic because I do think college should be affordable for everyone. Here's my last question. Won't bug you anymore.
That's fine.
Is it just for tuition, or does it cover their living, their dorm fees, their food, their books?
So Illinois Commitment is going to cover tuition and the campus fees.
Campus fees are now. Do your campus fees include housing? Ours don't.
They do not.
My daughter. Okay. Now, do you really? Which you probably do. But do you know how expensive it is to live on the University of Illinois?
We do.
Yeah. So if they can't afford the tuition, how do you think they're going to afford the housing?
So the housing part of our budget is about $11,300 a year, but the tuition and fees are going to be over $16,000. So we're covering over half the cost with just tuition and fees.
Okay.
So, but we do acknowledge that room and board, books and supplies, and other expenses will be covered by other financial aid. That could include loans, but tuition fees covers over half the cost of attendance.
Oh, I know what it costs to attend there. I've looked all into it. But I was surprised at the amount of the housing cost. It was very high, I thought, compared to other universities in the area. So that was kind of my question. Did it just cover the tuition, which I think is wonderful, but I just wanted to know, you know, so people are aware that when they come into this, and because before my kids were in college, I looked at fees and I clumped everything with fees. And so then when it came down to it, it was like, well, housing isn't a fee. Housing is separate. So I just wanted to know if that was that way. So yep. Thank you very much
very
for
good.
Your answers.
Thank you, Jane. Yeah, it can be eye-opening first time you go, you start looking at this, can't it? I mean, that would be your experience.
That's correct.
Sure.
And I think part of our concern has been that students see our total cost of attendance of $31,000. And that is if you're at what we call our base rate programs. It can be up to $36,000 if you're in engineering, business, chemical, life sciences. They see that sticker price, and they automatically write us off because they don't think they could afford us, even though they know that financial aid might be available. But a family that's got $50,000 income and looks at a cost of $31,000 probably assumes they're not going to be eligible.
They're not going to be eligible, yeah.
And so this new program hopefully will send a message to those families, say, yes, you can be. University of Illinois is going to be both accessible and affordable.
Stay home. Stay home with us.
That's right. That is right.
Adam, let's take a break. We'll come back with more with Dan Mann from the University of Illinois. Hey, did you know that two-thirds of retirees wish they had done things differently during retirement planning? UC Wealth Management Team, including more than 100 wealth professionals with 40 advanced designations, share 7 tried-and-true tips from retirees. Realize your dream, get educated, make a plan, contribute today. Even the smallest amount will go a long way. Keep contributing and don't touch retirement savings. Monitor your progress. Turn your dreams into reality. And remember, retirement is a marathon, not a sprint, so plan accordingly. For a guide to your golden years, visit the Resource Center, BUSY.com. Today, Busey Bank, one of our great sponsors here on Penny for Your Thoughts. 10:55, couple of minutes to go here with Dan Mann. Nancy has a question. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I actually don't have a question right now, but I have an observation.
Mm-hmm.
I work on campus, and there are so many students who are working, I'm not kidding, 3 and 4 jobs just to make ends meet, and they come from poor families. But they choose to come to the University of Illinois, even though full grant, full MAP, full Pell, or whatever they call it now, all of that they've got in place, but there's a lot of unmet need, and they're trying to avoid a bunch of loans. So I'm really hoping, and I guess this is my question, I'm hoping that they won't have to work so darn hard. You know, it costs them grade opportunities in some cases. Is that the case? You think?
Yes, I think that's a very good point. So one of the things that we have at keep track of in enrollment management and in our financial aid office is a statistic that we call unmet need, and that is really how much money do our students qualify for but we're not able to meet. And that's about $120 million a year. So with an investment of $4 million a year over the next 4 years, that's $16 million. We're still going to end up having about $100 million in unmet need, even with this new program. So we're hoping it's going to reduce the need for students to have to work so many hours, especially those from the lowest income levels. But I think work is still an important way that many students and families pay for their education.
Hey, Nancy, I got to run, but thank you.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Back to wrap it up in a moment. All right, I got about 10 seconds. Say thank you, Dan Mann, for coming in. We'll do this again.
Thanks, Brian, for having me.
Good to have you on board. Good luck to all the students at the University of Illinois. Back tomorrow at 9, Penny for Your Thoughts, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana.